Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, radio listeners. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. Let me first apologize for missing the episode last week because there were just things going on that required immediate attention, and I was not able to be in two places at the same time. So this discussion this week is the discussion we would have had last week. So please forgive the inconvenience. Before we go any further, let me welcome my guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hello.
Now, I have to start off by complaining.
About what?
I am just so tired of the cold.
Just imagine how you're going to appreciate spring when it comes along, eh?
Yeah, I hope so, because I've just had it.
Yeah.
I'm just cold, and I don't want to be cold anymore. Yeah. But that said, our discussion today is what I think is a really important discussion, because it's at the root of progress.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like change is, we can't grow,
mm-hmm.
we can't progress unless we change. Unless something changes.
Mm.
And so I am, I really want us to kind of look at change in a comprehensive way.
Mm.
Not just personal change,
mm.
organizational change, environmental change, but just change, in a very universal, comprehensive way. And I guess we should give out the number before we go on. The number for call-in is 619-639-4621. That's 619-639-4621. So, change. What do you think when you think about change?
doing something different. Not the usual. Change usually, for me, I think, conjure up terms of resistance or not readily, available or availing myself or anyone to change because it means something different. And so a lot of times, probably, different is unknown.
Right. And different is discomfort.
Right. No, you're right. That's a good way of placing that in saying it's being uncomfortable with something new, different, and something you're not familiar with. And, especially with, when you're comfortable with, the usual, so to speak.
Right. So the idea of change, then, does not necessarily invite the feeling of anticipation or being eager or, desire.
Right.
So in our minds, or we've been socialized to think of change as a negative?
I don't know if I'm speaking for masses, but yeah. It's like someone walks into the room, or your wife or your husband comes home. I guess it's more seen to as a wife thing and she says, "Honey, we need to talk." It conjures up a certain
feeling.
This must be something serious, it depends on what's said. So when you said, something needs to change or something, it means, for the most part, something not pleasant or something uncomfortable.
Mm, mm-hmm. I think that probably is so. That when you think about change, when I think about change, I think that there has to be work. There is work that needs to be done.
Right.
There's work that needs to be done. When we think about change, but if things don't change, unless it's euphoric, unless you're really satisfied with the way that things are,
right.
change has to be a good thing.
That's easier said than done. That's easy to say. Or maybe that's correct. However, putting it in play or putting it in practice for someone to believe. And not all change, I don't think every change is good. You know, sometimes you change just for change's sake and not necessarily for a better reason. I think it's case specific.
Okay.
What are you changing? Your outlook on life, you're changing
your
job, you're changing your behavior, you are changing how you relate to your children, to your significant other, you know, to your surroundings, to the environment. Are you more environmentally aware? Are you now eating things? Are you now a vegetarian? Are you more organic? Are you buying solar panels? You know, so there are different types of changes.
And most of those that you said just now sounded like great.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I need to change my relationship with my children. I need to change how I relate to my mother, my father, my brother, my so on and so forth. Might not necessarily translate into the same way, you know, or someone might say, I think you should be more organic. I think you should eat more, you know, green and, you know, colored vegetables. You might say, no, I like to eat, you know, medium rare steak. You might not be as welcoming in change because you should quit smoking. You should, however,
right.
You know, you might not take it in your mind. You might say, you know what, there's a place for that. But right now, I'm not comfortable
And I'm really processing this.
Mm.
You know, I'm really processing this in terms of you know, whether or not change is bad or can be. You know, it's not so, I guess it's gray. It doesn't have to be good or bad.
Okay.
But, you know, like I said before, how I started, I feel like change represents growth. You know, and that's how I feel. I feel like change, that nothing can grow, things can't progress unless they change. You know, and I'm like really...
Things can't progress unless they change. You can get even just as big. You're right. You can get... as basic on a cellular level that nothing grows unless something multiplies and
changes.
So from just a cellular organic level, yeah.
And then we build out from that.
Sure, sure.
And we build...
And things themselves differentiate into different things.
Right, and so, you know, cells can mean families or behavior or thoughts or, you know, but things can't grow, can't progress unless they change.
Would it be more comforting if you said things can't change if they stay the same?
No.
The more, you know, because then the phrase that says the more things change, the more they stay the same. So what does
what does that really mean?
Exactly. What does that really mean? It just means that...
Somebody just made that up. It's probably...
Probably too. But then if you dissect it, what does it really mean? That says if the more you change, it just means that, well, you could say, well, things cycle, you know, where things come back around. I've seen this before, but there was change... and things mimic each other over time.
Mm.
But I'm sure that's not where you want to go with this. It's
no.
more about where change is necessary for growth. Change is necessary for us to proceed, for us to have progress. Am I in the right
room? You know, I feel like things, in order for things to progress, in order, and so I'm thinking about this in terms of from a personal level, and then from a, you know, even a professional level, that things can't really grow unless something changes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep doing the same job, the same function, the same, you know, you can't really grow.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, reach where you're going or strive to get where you're going unless you are changing. And, you know, but, so, you know, I just kind of, you know, I've been, like, really thinking about this in terms of, you know, what is change about? Is change necessary?
Mm-hmm.
Is change necessary?
I think it's inevitable.
Okay, so it's inevitable.
I think so.
Does that make it necessary?
necessary sounds like choice. I guess so. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, the stages of change, right, were born out of treatment of people with addiction. And they studied behavior. And there are, you know, there are essentially six stages of change. And I'm going to go through them, right? So the first stage of change is what's considered pre-contemplation, right? Where you are not even thinking about the behavior because you may not recognize that it's a problem, right? So, you know, or you're not thinking about the concern or the issue. Well, like you said before, it might have been, you know, relationship with your children or your spouse or your family.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a smoking or a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
It could be an eating problem. It could be a weight
mm-hmm.
problem,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even recognize it as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not even at the stage where you're starting to recognize, well, that's a problem. Maybe I should start to think about
there's
it.
There's no change
so there's
to be
no,
made.
Right, there's no change to be made, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we move from to the next stage, which is considered contemplation, where you start to consider the possibility of change because you're recognizing it as, well, maybe, you know, we could stand to have that change, right?
Or you've heard it enough. You know you need to change your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know you need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So it caused you to have conscious thought of it is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And contemplate.
But contemplating it does not mean you're committed to it.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So you might start to say, you know, just think about, for example, changing your eating habits, moving from eating white sugar to brown sugar.
Guilty as charged.
You know, so just thinking about something like that, you know?
I was not exactly, we can use that as a real example. I was not exactly bowled over, which is kind of ironic considering growing up as a child drinking brown sugar in Jamaica and then coming to America for most of your adult life, eating mostly white sugar, and then now saying, you know what, dear, I think we need to change and we need to drink, you know, or use brown sugar. And you say, no. Why? And if you asked me to give you a good reason, which you probably did, I couldn't find one.
It was just a resistance.
Exactly. That says, but this is something I grew up drinking or using as a child when I was younger. You know, between that and obviously, you know, like condensed milk. So to say, well, I'm not going to change from white sugar.
So
it was just an instinctive
resistance.
With no thought that says, here's a logical reason why I'm saying no. Here's why I'm having this uneasy feel.
And on the contrary, I'm saying to you that white sugar is bad. So we need to do something different.
Right, but that did not register as a, it's almost like, really? So what? You know, it's more like, I don't want to change, so therefore, whatever reason you're going to give me, I'm not hearing you because I still can't give you the reason why I don't want to change. I just know I just want to keep what I have, and I feel like you're about to take it away.
So it's just a resistance to
change. Exactly. Yeah.
It's just a resistance to change.
Guilty as
without such. Without any conscious thought or reason behind it.
And I know I can't believe I actually drank white sugar.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we move to the next stage of change, and that stage is called determination.
Okay.
Right? And that is the stage in which you make a determination, a commitment to act.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you decide at this stage, okay, and I guess we can still use the same example, where you decided that, okay, I resisted, I'm not going to resist anymore. I'm just going to go with it. I'm just going to, you know. Yeah, I'm just going to go with it. I'm just going to, okay, use brown sugar. And so then you didn't go back to the store to get yourself another 5-pound bag of white sugar.
No, I didn't, actually. No.
Right? So, you know, so you made a commitment, so to speak, of saying, okay, I'm going to try to use the brown sugar and not complain.
Or I just don't want to talk about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
right?
Right.
But in this stage, people usually make concrete plans as to how they are going to execute this commitment that they've made to change, right? Individuals can anticipate what the problems are. Go ahead.
Can I ask something? All right. And I guess you're looking at it from a practical clinical sense. When someone, and maybe it's a question, it's more of looking for advice here, for those listening. If you would like to ask someone to change a behavior or look at a behavior with the intent to do something differently about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the best approach then? Does it vary from person to person based on my personality, based on the, you know, what triggers me, what I'm more sensitive to? What does that factor into how best? All right, whatever behavior, good or it could be something that the person who's asking me to change just wants me to change it because they don't like it, not necessarily because it's bad for me. I don't like when you wear white shirts. I'd like you to wear any shirt other than white. You know. So what's the approach, or what should the approach be for the person trying to make the other person change?
Right. So in a clinical setting, using motivational interviewing to kind of get to what the motivation is behind the person feeling so connected to the behavior, trying to establish any kind of cognitive dissonance between what they say they want, you know, okay, so they might say, I want to be healthy, or I don't want to have asthma anymore, but you continue to smoke.
Mm.
So trying to make that connection. So really trying on a cognitive level to establish, you know, to help the person establish the connection and to create some kind of, you know, dissonance, or to really, help them identify how their behavior, does not support the goal that they're, expressing.
So you need me to come to the conclusion by myself?
Yes, you're kind of led to the conclusion in a way.
Like the brown sugar.
Mm-hmm. You know, because change has to come from the person. So I told you, okay, we're going to use brown sugar, and that was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you said, no, I'm not going to use brown sugar. I'm going to use white sugar. And I said, fine with me. You just have to buy your own white sugar.
I think I did once.
Yeah, you did.
Once.
But that's what I said. I was like, okay, I'm going to be using brown sugar.
Yeah.
But if you want to use white sugar, that's entirely up to you.
Right.
But you will have to get it yourself.
Right. Right. So I guess your point then in terms of,
motivating
the person to change for whatever reason. But I think a lot of times, though, I think that's a lot of times it's that approach that either fosters an environment for the person to see their way clear of to change, or it also cultivates where the person dig their heels in and resist change even more because of how it's approached. I think it makes a difference.
Right, and that's why change has to come mostly from the motivation of the individual. Remember now, this first stage is pre-contemplation, where they are not even thinking about it.
Mm.
Where we get up to the third stage, where we're saying, determination, I have decided to change.
Right.
Which then takes you to the next stage, which is the action stage, which you're saying, I will change. You're doing things to actually implement the change. You're putting the change into action.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you might publicly commit to saying, I'm going to stop drinking, or I'm going to stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might say, okay, I'm not even going to go to the store to buy myself another 5-pound bag of white sugar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's saying, that's how you're implementing it. You've decided to act on it. You've decided, okay, I'm just going to go with it.
Already.
Right. And so, it takes direct action on the part of the individual.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think, I don't know if there's any such thing as good change and bad change, but I think, I don't know if there's an enlightenment area there that comes to where you come to the realization that once you have changed and gotten to the other side of that change, if it's something obviously that is towards the upliftment of your life or, to your own benefit,
yeah.
Where you look back at it and say, gee, gosh,
It's exactly in this stage.
I should have really, you know,
realized
that a long time ago, and what took me so long. And if nothing else, I am so glad that I did.
Right. And it's in this exact same stage of action
where
after a while you realize, well, what was I resisting anyway? Because this may, you know, this is indeed good for me.
Right. But I still think, though, I mean, and I still think a lot of it has to do with how it's presented. How it's presented, I think, makes a difference in terms of your initial reaction. Even if you are resistant, your level of resistance, I think, will vary based on that initial approach or that, you know, request to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is it presented to me?
Mm-hmm.
You have to. It would be nice if you did. Two different things.
Right.
You must.
Right.
It is in your best interest if you did.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference. So I think when we talk to our, you know, people that we relate with, be it our significant others, be it our children, parents, co-workers, you know, subordinates, whatever it might be, I think, you know, when we're asking things of people for them to change a behavior or change to do something or to do anything, I think the approach, you know, it's easy to say it's not what's said but how it's said.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens every day. People say things in a tone that is misunderstood or is taken out of context every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, to change, which is necessary, as you said, there's also a responsibility of how it's presented.
So I agree. I totally agree because, you know, change is not something that can be or should be forced.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to the next stage, which is the maintenance, relapse, and recycling stage.
Oh, yeah.
And I see you relapsing every now and again.
Of course I do.
You know, white sugar in your when we go to the
Oh, I'm not, trust me, I'm not stretching the effort to tell the man, if you don't bring brown sugar, I'm not going, you know, no, I don't see that as relapse, I see that as just maintaining, you know, so, I mean, the idea that says, if I go somewhere and I said, and the man said, oh, would you like coffee, sir, and I said, yes, please, I'm not going to say to him, please make sure you bring brown sugar, or else I'm not going to have it, but you do, and I don't, and I expect that, but my point is, if I go back, it's not as if I say, go home and say, well, I have to now go home and get some white sugar because that's the only way I can have it. No. Mm-mm. In the moment, it's about the caffeine and what I want to have. Is it flavored differently with the brown sugar? Yes, it all depends. But I'm not tied to it that says that's the only way I'll have it. But I know you are, and I expect you to say that. You know. And if you get it and there's enough there, I'll have that too. So.
And if I'd rather have my tea without sugar than have white sugar.
There you go. Choice.
You know, I'd rather do that. I'd rather have it with no sugar than have it with white sugar.
I hear you.
And then the final stage is the termination stage, right?
Termination. That sounds negative in a way.
But the termination change is where you're no longer in that cycle of change because the cycle of change has been complete. And so that behavior or that situation or, you know, is no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, so the new behavior has been incorporated into the identity or the behavior of the individual so that it's no longer a part of change. It, you know, the change is complete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And you no longer have to be fearful. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, worried that, you know, I'm going to relapse and smoke, or I'm going to relapse and drink, or I'm going to use
white sugar. All right. Okay. For someone who was not, because then, you see, here's the point. Everything that we just described a second ago, change, and then when you get to termination of change, meaning we ended up in a good place, where the change that you accomplished took you from not so good or whatever behavior that was unhealthy or could be improved to an improved, you know, a better place, okay? What about the reverse, where I've never had these behaviors before, I have never done these things before, and now I'm influenced by something else that causes me to change?
Like what? What do you mean?
Outside influence. Be it I'm a youngster, I have peer pressure, I have group pressure. So I never smoke. I never drank.
But I think
I never...
change reflects, though. I think the idea of change is reflected in that. In the remember now, this is born out of the study of addiction, right, and the treatment of addiction.
Okay.
So remember now. So it's about identifying something that may be problematic.
Right.
And then recognizing that this problematic behavior, thought, or condition needs to change in order for.
So it's always a problem, and resolving a problem
right.
being the end of the change.
Right. Yeah, that's the idea from which change was born. The concept of change was born, or the theory of change was born.
Okay, I see. So then, therefore, it is within that confines
right.
and within that concept.
Because I don't know if you would look at it as change in terms of going from good to
bad. You know, that's why you're so bad. I mean, therefore, you have changed. You're no longer that well-behaved young man. No,
remember, it's not what's wrong with you, it's what's happened to you. So then it's about what's influencing that behavior.
What caused you to change and start behaving differently?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know, but I understand what you're saying. I was just looking at it in reverse and saying, well, what if you did go from a place of health and, you know, and goodness, for want of a better word, to less than that? You know, no one came to you and said, you know, necessarily and saying, well, you must do, or you were influenced in a negative way, much the same way you can be influenced in a positive way,
right?
You know, so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I think that and I guess we'll do our takeaway, because I think that the idea of change is necessary in order for us to progress.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's always an area that could stand to be improved.
Right.
And that reflects that idea of change. So, you know, it's again developing that self-awareness, developing that ability to look at what areas of my thoughts, feelings, or actions could use some change, difference, or improvement, and then, you know, working that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, you're saying to reflect on, you know, internalize and look at yourself and evaluate and think, what is it, you know, we need to change? Yeah, that's true.
You know, so... You know,
then be open to that change.
Right.
Be open to that change.
Right.
Because looking at it and saying, oh, yeah, I think you should change, but not willing to make the first step towards that change, then... You know, the value is, it's still just potential energy. You don't put it in play.
Right. And can you really say that you are growing if you're not changing?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, because is it that you're stagnant, you know?
Uh-huh.
If you are not changing, are you stagnant? Are you just stuck?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that, you know, that's the question. So... You know, I really hope that folks will start to think about change not as something to be feared or something that's threatening or discomforting, but recognizing that with that discomfort could come, you know, growth, significant progress. So, you know.
I guess it's specific. It's personal. It's something that you have to decide on your own.
So, until next time.
All right. This was good.
Yeah. Was good. So, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right. Peace and blessings, y'all.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and blessings.